My name is Garland Robinson. In the Old Testament book of Job, chapter 38 and verse 3, we find that God confronted Job with a challenge. God says, "Gird up your loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me." There then followed questions to which Job had absolutely no reply. You know, there's a lot of questions today that God has placed before man that man cannot answer. And to some, if he could give an answer, he'd have to plead the fifth rather than incriminate himself. Let's look at some of these questions that God asks and confronts every single human being in the world today. In Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 31, we read that God delivered a very stinging indictment against Israel and then ended it with a question. He said, "The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so." Now here's the question. "And what will ye do in the end thereof?" What a deplorable condition when corrupt and reprobate false prophets and priests combine to set forth false doctrines and lead people who love that kind of thing away from the truth. They gloried in their status quo. They didn't want God's truth to stir them from their spiritual degradation and decline. Isaiah well portrayed that depravity in Israel in Isaiah 30, verses 9, 10, and 11, when he said, "This is a rebellious people, lying children, children that say to the seers, 'See not,' and to the prophets, 'Prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us.'" In such depravity, people would rather hear false teachers speak lies than to confront themselves with the unpleasant truth they think that is unpleasant, which really the jewel and the crown of life is the Word of God. They wanted to be undisturbed in their era rather than be satisfied with the faithful Word and doctrine of the Lord. And God asked, "What will you do in the end thereof?" Cannot imagine people that when they hear the truth, they refuse it and say, "No, tell me lies. Tell me falsehoods. I don't want to believe the truth." And that's exactly what multitudes do today, and they're rocked to sleep with a lullaby of complacency that is sung by false teachers and religious racketeers. What can be done to wake up people to the reality of sin and the dangers of hell? What can turn them from lip service to the rituals and forms spawned by corrupt and designing hierarchies? People, if you feel such service is right, then listen to these words in Proverbs 14, verse 12. "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Friend, after you've obeyed and worshipped and served man rather than God, then God asks, "What shall ye do in the end thereof? How will you stand in judgment?" A second question that's certainly appropriate to ask as well to a nation that is filled with materialism is this. It's asked in Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37. "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Friend, if you balance this world on one side and your soul on the other, which way would the scales tip? If gaining the whole world achieved greatness and fame and fortune and pleasure, there's still a vastness of eternity to consider. What has earthly riches to offer? The certain thing about riches is their uncertainty. We read in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 15, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the truth and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Such a curse can never bring true riches, and any serious reflection should lead one to think about the wealth of the world versus the crown of life that fadeth not away. Seriously and soberly answer that question: what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What can offer equal value? And certainly the answer is nothing. A third question, then, that we need to consider and contemplate is this. It's found in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It's not that we deny God. It's not that we rebel against Christ and denounce Him. And it's not that we blaspheme the Holy Spirit. The question concerns neglect. One doesn't have to rise up against God in open rebellion, nor does he have to fight against the love that offered the Son of God in order to be lost. The sobering truth in being lost is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and verse 23. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6 and verse 23. And it's only in and through Christ that we can have salvation. We find salvation is in Him, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. Now, how can we escape if we neglect that which can save us? Jesus declared in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Peter made that very clear in Acts 4 and verse 12 when he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. After God has offered salvation in Christ Jesus, how shall we escape if we neglect that great salvation? A fourth sobering question confronting everyone today that's outside of the Lord Jesus Christ is asked in 1 Peter 4 in verse 17. We read, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Many strive to exonerate all those who have not obeyed, but there still remains no hope outside of Christ. Jesus set the example of obedience in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, when he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. What shall be the end of the disobedient? Notice what we read in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verses 7 to 9, when the Bible says, the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obeyed not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Who then shall be saved? It's those who believe and obey. Revelation 22:14 says, blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Salvation has never been promised to any other than those who are obedient. And the end of disobedience is revealed. Very dire warnings and consequences given to those who are disobedient. They'll be cast out into a lake of fire which burneth with brimstone. But the faithful, the obedient, those are the ones that will be saved. And then a fifth sobering question that confronts us every day is this. 1 Peter 4, verse 18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? You know, we can read about the trials, tribulations, afflictions, persecutions of the early Christians, and we're reminded of the record of their endurance and their zeal and their labor. Yet the righteous scarcely being saved? Then what are the ungodly and sinful lives of people who claim to be Christian, claim to follow the Lord, or those who don't claim anything, but they are zealously following their own way, the way of the world? What's going to happen to them? What's going to become of them? And after a life of devotion and dedication, the righteous are scarcely saved, then where shall the ungodly appear? Where shall the sinner be in judgment? How will ungodly lives be rewarded in that day? We read in Jude, in verse 15, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 saints to execute judgment upon all and to convict all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Now you answer the question, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Jesus said in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." Again he said in Mark 2:17, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." But where will the sinner appear in judgment if he wastes and ignores and spurns the salvation offered through Jesus Christ the Lord? What excuse can be offered for rejecting the love of God, refusing the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, ignoring the message of the Word of God and the prayers of friends and loved ones and brethren in the Lord? Friend, before you go further in the path of sin, stop to ask yourself this question: where will the sinner appear in that day of judgment? What about those who never obey the gospel of Christ? What about those who spurn away the day of salvation, ignore Jesus Christ? What about those who perhaps do obey, but then they turn their backs on the Lord? What shall we do if we neglect so great salvation? What will it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? Oh, what soul-searching, sobering questions those are. What should you do now? Humbly repent of all of your sins. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, repent of your sins. Confess faith in Christ and be immersed into water for the forgiveness of your sins. Be raised to walk a newness of life. Be faithful to the Lord all the days of your life, casting all thy care and burden upon Him, for He careth for you. That's what you can do. If not, you'll be turned out into everlasting destruction. What a sad picture indeed. Why not obey the gospel?